The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Skyview Network Studios. This is Sports 360 AZ, the Brad Sessmatt Show. I am Jordan Hamm, filling in for Mr. Bradford as he recovers from his double knee replacement. Talked to him yesterday. Sounds like all things are going well. Moving around as much as he can, and things are going well. He said he is appreciative of all the well wishes and the texts and the tweets and everything that you guys have been sending his way. So we appreciate that as a whole, but have a lot to get to here on a busy, busy Wednesday. Diamondbacks continuing to stay in the zip code of the wild card. Cardinals were on Hard Knocks last night. Seeing some early NFL draft things and how that could affect the ASU Sun Devils. U of A heading to Hawaii this year at 0 week in high school football, and Sun Devils getting ready to kick their season off as well. Let's get things started with our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And let's start off with the Diamondbacks. So they rattle off three straight wins now. And when we talked last Thursday, it was a tough loss. The end of the series against the Rockies, Archie Bradley blew a save. The last time we talked about that, that happened in May, and that led to a 5-12 stint for the Diamondbacks. Really kind of started to see things unravel in an early season. But they were able to kind of bounce back. I believe the term that's been said by Pedro Gomez, by multiple people, is kind of treading water. Just being there, being in the thick of it, but not quite making those big runs, not having those huge valleys either. But Diamondbacks have a nice win last night, 8-7 over the Rockies. A five-run sixth inning is what really helped spur that. You have Eduardo Escobar, the ninth player in Diamondbacks history to reach the 100 RBI mark. The last switch hitter in the NL since Chase Headley in 2012. That is a name from the past, Chase Headley. Ketel Marte in the hunt for that as well. Nick Ahmed, he has a career high in home runs now with 17. He matched his career high in RBI from last year with 70. Guys, you got to stop talking about him being just a defensive specialist. He is an incredible defensive shortstop, but deservedly so. I saw early in the season multiple media people go up to him, talk about having that defensive specialist tag, and he'd kind of get upset. You could tell he'd get a little frustrated because he put up good numbers last year. He's putting up great numbers this year. The average is pretty good as well as it stands right now with him. So he's a really good all-around shortstop. So I think that's what fans need to remember. He's not just a glove. Yes, that's the first thing I think people will notice, how many runs he saves, how well he plays in the field. But he's hitting 273 right now. And I think where that came from, that the defensive specialist reputation was previous year's 2015 226 average, 218 2016, 251 in 2017, and 234 in 2018. Now he's hitting 39 points higher than where he was last year. So a very good all-around shortstop. Let's leave it at that. Alex Young bounces back nicely. Really has struggled the past couple of starts, but he did a nice job. Six innings, three earned runs, just one home run, struck out four. It's against the Rockies, so the numbers are always going to be a little bit crooked. Last week when we talked to Zach Gallen, he said you have to take every start against the Rockies with a grain of salt because they just do have so many great hitters, and I think the same can be said for the Dodgers. So to give up just three runs in six innings, I think that's a pretty good spot to be in for Alex Young. And look, this is a really young rotation right now. We will see kind of when Robbie Ray comes back. It kind of looked like maybe he potentially won't miss a start because of the way the off days hit. They can kind of skip his spot in the rotation and then move on, and he'll be ready by then to serve that 10-day IL. But I posted something last week when the news came out that he would miss time. If pitchers not named Mike Leake at that time had a combined 48 career starts, and 26 of those have come from Merrill Kelly. So over half of those have come from one pitcher. So very young pitching staff. They're doing what they can. I think there's a lot of talent there. But when you're in a playoff hunt and you're facing teams like the Dodgers, like the Nationals, like the Rockies, like the Brewers, that can certainly put up a ton of runs, you're going to need as much experience and as much know-how as you can. So I think the D-backs have done a pretty good job with that so far. Last night was Tuesday night. That means it was Hard Knocks night. It is appointment television in my apartment. I really enjoy that series, the behind-the-scenes looks and all of that. And one thing I learned about Hard Knocks is they have such beautiful cinematography and camera work and doing the slow-mos of guys doing incredible plays. But one thing I learned last week when it was a montage with Mike Glennon and Nathan Peterman is I have a passion for slow-mo montages of players messing up, of players getting overthrown, of players dropping passes. They had this poetic slow-mo of guys just going up for the ball and just clank, and it fed my soul. So thank you, Hard Knocks, for continuing to innovate. It hasn't been a perfect season. I think so far they've kind of glossed over the Richie Incognito stuff and just kind of said he's had an interesting couple of years. I think that they probably should have dug a little deeper. We'll see if they do the rest of the way, if that could be a later in the series type deal. But the way they've navigated Antonio Brown and all of that hoopla has been very interesting. But the reason I'm bringing it up on Sports 360 AZ, last week the Raiders played the Cardinals. And when it came to the first teams, they beat up on the Cardinals pretty well. I know that's come out that the Cardinals didn't really scheme for a defense, they were going very vanilla. They're trying to keep things close to the vest or chest, depending on how you say it. But they really haven't shown too much at all. And so take everything with a grain of salt. It's also the preseason, so take everything with a grain of salt. I think the year the Lions went 0-16, they went undefeated in the preseason. But one thing that jumped out to me was in their pregame process, they spent a lot of time talking about Kyler Murray. And I was wondering if Gruden was going to say, you know, make sure you knock him on his butt, make sure you do this, make sure you do that. It was really nothing but respect for Kyler Murray, showing some long runs that he had at Oklahoma, and just saying, I've never seen a quarterback do that, so don't let him get to the outside. You know, keep him contained. So I thought overall it was an interesting episode from that perspective. Made the Raiders kind of look like a Super Bowl team. But, you know, it was rough watching that first team, seeing what they could or couldn't do. The defense struggled as well. Again, you kind of got to take everything with a grain of salt here because it is the preseason. If for all you ASU fans there, Vontaze Burfict had a very small role in this episode. The defense was talking about how they get kind of cotton-mouthed when they're running, and you know the mouth gets dry because they're doing all the conditioning and everything like that. So how do they get, you know, make sure that their mouths don't get that way? Some of them chew gum. Others are worried that they are going to swallow the gum mid-game. And Vontaze Burfict mentioned that when he swallows gum, how can I put this appropriately, his bowel movements hurt. And then it just cut away. And you're just kind of left with that. So sounds like Vontaze hasn't really changed that much this year. So interesting episode. Again, really enjoy those behind-the-scenes stuff. And the Cardinals taking on the Minnesota Vikings this week. They are heading on the road. They are out of camp. They are back in Tempe working on things. So interesting stuff there. One other note here before we get going. On today's show, by the way, kind of glossed right over that. Jacoby Covington, Saguaro defensive back, came in studio. He is now a commit for the Washington Huskies. He was nice enough to come in to discuss what it's like playing with so much talent And a lot of guys from Saguaro are actually heading to the Pac-12 in this 2020 class. So he's going to have a lot of opponents that he'll be going up against. So he talked about getting to line up against some of the Saguaro receivers at the college level what it would be like. And, you know, just some really interesting stuff there. So he's going to join us on that. Mike Bercovici of ASU, now a graduate assistant. A former Sun Devil quarterback. He joined us by Skype. Both of these were on Brad Sesmat's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona last night and will be running throughout the week. Berko, I really wanted to talk to him because I feel like this year coming in, it was a wide-open quarterback competition. And the last time it was a truly wide-open quarterback competition, Berko was right in the middle of that with Taylor Kelly and Mike Eubank. Even with when it was like Manny Wilkins, Bryce Perkins, and Brady White, it felt like Manny was kind of the incumbent there, and it was his job to lose. No one played well enough to take that job from him. But this one, it came in, and there were four quarterbacks who all had an equal shot. Jaden Daniels ended up being the guy. But in the quarterback competition that Berko was in, he wasn't Jaden Daniels in this scenario. He had to back up Taylor Kelly for multiple years before he got his shot. So the interesting part to me about getting to talk with Bercovici and why I wanted to get his perspective is the decisions made. That's the easy part. Now, how do you keep that quarterback room together, keep it moving cohesively to make sure that should Jaden Daniels struggle or go down with an injury that Joey Ellen, Dillon Sterling Cole are ready to go? You know, the transfer portal wasn't a thing when Mike Bercovici was a quarterback. So how has that changed? How has the college game changed with that? So he gives some really great insight on that. So both of those will be in the bottom of the hour talking to Jacoby Covington and Mike Bercovici. Before we go, Dane Brugler, who does a really good job for The Athletic, he's kind of their draft expert. He put out a very early top 50 draft prospects for this upcoming NFL draft. I know it seems like the draft just came and went. Seems like a couple weeks ago. It's been a couple months, but puts out the top 50. And this is a really unique ranking because number one, you have an edge rusher from Ohio State, and number two, you have an undersized quarterback at one and two. Seems to mirror last year. Chase Young is his number one prospect out of Ohio State, and then Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for Alabama, is number two. On the Pac-12 front, you have Justin Herbert at number seven, Oregon quarterback. Laviska Shenault, the wide receiver from Colorado, one of the most underrated guys in the entire country, at number eight. Eno Benjamin, ASU running back, number 31. And the number two running back, Ashton Davis from Cal at 37. Walker Little and Paulson Adebo, both from Stanford, 40 and 41. Darnay Holmes, the DB out of UCLA, number 44. And then Troy Dye, number 50, rounding things off at Oregon. A little surprised to see Eno that high. And it has nothing to do with what Eno does. It's just very interesting to see how the NFL is viewing their running backs now and how the value of running backs, I feel like they're most valuable on those rookie contracts, and then they perform, they become big weapons, and then all of a sudden it's a Le'Veon Bell situation, it's an Ezekiel Elliott situation, it's a Melvin Gordon situation where they don't want to pay the big money because they can find those efficient guys that can go out and do that for much less money. So the dynamic of the NFL running back is very interesting to me. Eno Benjamin, I think, is an NFL talent. I think there was one running back that went in the first round last year, and that was Josh Jacobs. But you'll get maybe, depending on the class, maybe one, maybe two, that sort of thing. The fact that Todd Gurley was taken at like 16 by the Rams a couple years ago is, like, looking back, that's shocking. But that seemed like a normal rating for him at that point. So it'll be interesting to see what Eno does this year because he is has so much talent, obviously set the Sun Devil rushing record, was dominant. The absolute workhorse, the guy, without really catching a lot of passes. And I feel like also the NFL running back value is not only being efficient in the run game and being able to pass block, but be a capable receiver. I know that he is a good receiver, but they just really didn't go to him a ton last year. I know that's a role that Herm Edwards has and Rob Likens have talked about, expanding that for him to make sure that he is more involved in the passing game. And I think part of that also is N'Keal Harry moving on. There are going to be targets all around, and it sounds like Jordan Curley is hurt. The freshman wide receiver, as well as Jordan Porter, will miss some time. So the depth at wide receiver isn't quite there right now, because there's quite a few. There were some transfers yesterday, some injuries. You kind of have your top three guys, and then a lot of question marks behind that. So how can you help with that? Eno Benjamin, and get the tight ends involved. Tommy Hudson, a returner, a senior, and then Nolan Matthews, I know, has turned some heads, who is the true freshman tight end, more of a pass catcher, where Tommy has really thrived as a blocker and can make catches when needed, but he's been more helping kind of setting the tone for the run game. So interesting stuff there. But here's what Brugler had to say about Eno Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the most fun players I evaluated this summer. He uses his natural balance to create as a ball carrier, running with a low center of gravity and the start-stop burst to elude defenders. Arizona State produced a first-rounder on offense in April, N'Keal Harry, and could do it again in the 2020 class. So high praise for Eno Benjamin. I think it's certainly deserved. Really intrigued by what's going to happen and how his role is going to evolve in year two, and paired with Sean Aguano, and kind of see how that goes. So interesting stuff there. Coming up, we're going to continue to touch base on things around the Valley with the sports scene. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sussmat Show. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy. Couple other stories that caught my eye this morning. Before we get to Jacoby Covington, Saguaro defensive back, now Washington commit, and then Mike Bercovici, former Sun Devil quarterback, now graduate assistant on the coaching staff. He's going to talk about the dynamics of a quarterback competition and getting to coach through it after playing through one a couple of years ago. This show, when I host, is kind of turned into a Jerry Jones quote machine. Last Wednesday when we filled in, it was what Jerry Jones using a horrific analogy of navigating trying to extend three big time players to you're in a car accident and you're bleeding from your arm and you run into the woods, but if you've been there before, you know to stay in the car and wait for help. And he's waiting for help. Again, I had string up on the wall of my apartment with maps trying to like decipher where he's going with that. Still don't really know. But there is news of a big extension with the Dallas Cowboys. And it's not Dak Prescott. Ezekiel Elliott is not getting extended, nor is Amari Cooper. It's Jalen Smith, the outside linebacker, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish standout. He signed a 7-year deal. And Jerry Jones, another just all-time quote here. He is addressing the media, and he said, "Y'all have been badgering my ass to get a contract done for the last 3 weeks. This is a contract story." And this is a contract story that is not just for this year or just next year. This has it all. It has overcoming. It has talent. It has rewarding and ambition. Or it just has the beginning of what ambition will get you in the future. That's the biggest, most exciting thing about this. Y'all badgering my ass. I love that. Jalen Smith, the backstory with him, 2016 NFL draft. He was going to be a top five pick. He was an absolute monster for Notre Dame. And then 30 miles from where we are, if that, I think Devin can properly give me an assessment, but State Farm Stadium, he's playing at the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State and has a horrific leg injury. And he had to, part of the injury included nerve damage. No one really knew if he was going to come back and be full strength. I don't know if he is full strength. He's pretty darn close to that and has really showed out for the Cowboys, and he became a second round pick. Didn't have to. During that draft, I remember thinking, like, some of the experts were saying he could fall to like the fourth or fifth round because of the significance of this injury. And Cowboys didn't wait too long, went with that first round or that second round pick. got him, and it was, I remember it was early in the second round, like I think 35 or 36, but he signs a $35.5 million extension. Now the third highest paid inside linebacker in the NFL behind C.J. Mosley and Bobby Wagner, and just a million more before Luke Kuechly. So good on Jalen Smith, and again, just a great quote from Jerry Jones. There is an interesting, you know, it's between the haves and the have-nots in the MLB right now, and especially after the trade deadline. The balance of power has shifted, and it has shifted a lot to the Houston Astros. And I feel like the discrepancy between bad baseball teams, the worst of the worst and the best of the best, it may not be at its peak. You know, I remember 03, 04, that's usually where I look to of that huge discrepancy. But it is certainly there between just how good and how bad these teams are. But there is a historic line between the Astros and the Tigers tonight, and Justin Verlander is pitching. The Astros are listed at minus 500 favorites at Caesars Palace and as high as minus 550 at other sports books. And according to Kenny White, a 30-plus year odds maker in Las Vegas, he said he thinks it could get to $6. So you have to throw down six to make a dollar. I mean, that is insane, especially for a regular season game. And again, it's the haves and the have-nots right now. So that's just – that certainly caught my eye with just the way – the sports landscape and Major League Baseball is going right now. So with the rest of this segment, I kind of want to focus on just kind of where ASU football's at as a whole. I think that they are a polarizing team, and I think they're a polarizing team because last year you look at like a 7-5 record, or what was it, 7-6, 500-ish record, but you look how close they were so many times. They returned so much on that defense that I think that the defense is going to quickly become one of the best in the Pac-12. But the question marks are, okay, you have Eno Benjamin, you have most of the offensive line back. They've had to do some shuffling due to a couple of veterans not being able to be there for the early on camp, and they don't really know when they're going to get there. And then you have to replace a N'Keal Harry. How do you replace an Avenger, you know? So the good news for Jaden Daniels, you have one of the best running backs in Arizona State history. You have a good offensive line. The bad news, you're missing a guy that has been a staple in the passing game, but you have a couple of receivers coming back with quite a bit of experience, but that depth isn't quite there right now because of injuries and transfers. So kind of, where do they go from here? I feel like they're an 8-win team, you know, 8 to 9 wins. You know, again, they were in every single game. That was the thing. The ball bounces a different way in two of those games. We're talking about a completely different landscape on Herm Edwards' first year. And I think it was a pleasant surprise for a lot of people. And they've shown that they can do things differently. And they can bring in young guys, and they can play at a high level. And now those young guys are getting more experience. Again, you look at that defense, there are a lot of studs on that side of the football, and they are, for some of them, just getting their college career started. So I think that they're going to surprise some people. What, they were picked second in Pac-12 South. The Pac-12 North right now is stacked, so that'll be interesting to see how they navigate it, but I think the true litmus test is going to be going and that first big road game against Michigan State. They took care of business last year in a grind them out kind of game. That's kind of what that was, the essence of that season last year. Now it sounds like they're going to be a little more wide open on offense. They're still going to utilize Eno plenty, but they're going to kind of let it rip and roar a little bit more than they did. But I'm intrigued to see what Jaden Daniels can do against a defense that isn't his in a game-like atmosphere, because all I've heard is rave reviews, and all I've seen is very impressive stuff at the practices I've been at and Camp T. You know, he knows how to take care of the football. But we really haven't also seen the running ability of him yet. Because it's just been, all right, make your reads, throw the ball. If not, you get tagged, not hit. And okay, reset the play. It'll be real interesting to see what he can do once it's, all right, let's go. You can run the ball now. You can throw the ball. Let's go get it. So can you tell I'm kind of ready for college football? I'm excited. U of A is kicking off this weekend. And then you have the Sun Devils kicking off next Thursday against Kent State. So going to be, I think, a fun season. And I'm intrigued to see how Khalil Tate bounces back and what this offense does if they say what they said they were going to do, or if they do what they were going to say. And I completely butchered that. Do what they were going to say they would do. There we go. I'm not paid to talk. Don't worry. And let Khalil kind of play to his strengths more, because they were, it felt like it was kind of a square peg round hole situation last year, where they were just, trying to get him to be more of a passer when he can do so much with his legs. And he is still, look, 2 years ago, he did plenty with his arm. But what really set the tone was the legs. And I felt like they were trying to get him to set the tone with his arm, and that just didn't quite work out. So, one other thing on the high school front, Stevie Rocker, the Canyon Del Oro running back, he already has a half dozen offers going into his junior season. Bijan Robinson has said he is the next great Tucson running back. He I think will be in the echelon of the Bijan, the Elijah, or Kadeem Carey, Elijah Carey as well. I mean, he was a very good running back as well. But had an injury. They thought it might be a significant amount of time. I got word from him last night. He just sprained his ankle. It's going to be 3 to 5 weeks. If you are in the Tucson area and want to check out high school football and see kind of who the next guy there is over the next couple of years, I think it's going to be Stevie Rocker. And also definitely check out that Sal Point team, because they are I don't know if they ever had talent like that, like they do right now. And it is a special, special group. So looking forward to 0 week kicking off here, as well as 0 week for college football. So coming up next, we're going to have Jacoby Covington in studio. I'm going to be much more dressed up than I am right now. But he breaks down how Saguaro set him up for success and what it's going to be like being a DB for Washington. They've done a nice job getting Arizona guys and getting Arizona defensive backs to the National Football League. So he's going to talk about that coming up next on the Brad Sussmat Show. Welcome into the recruiting roundup, another special edition. We have a commitment, another week, another big-time commitment from one of the best players in the state, and he was nice enough to come in studio to talk to us. Jacoby Covington, Saguaro defensive back and Washington commit. First off, Jacoby, congratulations.
Thank you.
And why the Huskies?
It's a special place over there. So when I was thinking about the school I wanted to go to, I was thinking about outside of football. So first of all, it's a great school. It's one of the best schools in the country. Second of all, when I was up there and I spent time with the players, it just felt like home. Like, we're just joking around. I was like, yeah, I want to go here. I could stay here if I wanted to right now. It's just relaxing. The football part, they got the best DB coach. I'm going to say he's the best DB coach in the college right now. And Peterson, a great coach. Everything about Washington, I just liked it. And then the development, they're one of the highest schools in development. That's what I was looking for when I was really looking for a school. And then that's what they do. They develop players into stars and send them to NFL and get their degrees. And I just, you can't turn that down.
When you went on your visit, you mentioned to me that there were other programs outside of football about developing young men and making sure that they're set up once they do leave Washington. Can you tell us a little bit about those programs and why it was so interesting to you?
Well, they have this Built for Life program over there, and it's really to develop men from boys and help them get jobs after college, after football. You know, when they was talking about that, I was very interested. My mom was very, when we got to the hotel afterwards, we were just talking about it. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons I chose Washington, just because of the Built for Life program. And, you know, Coach Peterson, you could tell he loves his players and wants them to succeed after college, after football, when they leave. You know, I loved it.
With the Huskies, I know when they offered, that was a big deal you. And that was one you were waiting on. Just what was that feeling when you got word that you received an offer from Washington?
Right after I got off the phone, because like, I was just so happy. He asked my sister, she's on the couch. I was like, "Hey, Jalen, guess what? I just got off and watched it." I think I almost started to cry. I was just so excited. I just felt different when I got that offer.
With Coach Lake, he's done a really good job recruiting the state of Arizona over the past couple of years and taking those players and developing them, especially if they're defensive backs. What makes him such a good recruiter, and why did you guys connect so well?
I really have a lot of respect for him because he's one of the best coaches. And I think I need that. I need a coach who's going to help. Like, I know he's one of the best coaches. I know what he's saying is true and it's going to help me. And then I think he's a great coach because, he goes to NFL games. He knows what he needs to do with his players and how to help them and what they need to do. Like, he was telling me what position I should be, like, safety. I was playing corner at my school, but safety. And I agree with him. If he thinks that, I'm going to play. I'm going to do the best I can do.
What about your skill set do you think will help you translate to the safety position?
I'm quick. I'm big. I'm fast. I'm physical. I love tackling. If I see a running back with the ball, I'm going to try to go get him. They put in the ball in the air, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to knock it down or intercept it.
Obviously, a lot of Washington fans we've seen on your social media post plenty of comparisons. You and Byron Murphy continuing that Saguaro to Washington legacy. Seeing where he was, right where you are right now, to going to where he is now, Washington, the NFL, just what helped with that recruiting pitch for the Huskies?
I wouldn't say it helped me a lot. I always wanted to do my own path. I didn't really like comparison. It's cool. Like, he's a great player. Respect him. He made out the mud. He's a fantastic cornerback. But seeing him come to Saguaro and go to Washington and go to the NFL, that was big. He can do it. I can do it. You just look up to him, really.
What's your relationship like with Dom Hampton, who came from Centennial, currently with the Huskies?
Dom, I didn't know him until I took my official. And he was my guy. And we just linked. He's really cool. Like, I was like, oh, this dude's cool. I think he's actually a big reason why I like Washington. I like my business so much. He's a cool dude.
How did the Saguaro program, the Saguaro community, help get you set up for college football?
Saguaro, you can't ask for anything better. They got your back no matter what. You mess up, they're going to be right there. Coach Mons, Coach Westbrook, they'll never let you off the hook. The weight room, everything. And then on the field, jogging. We don't like being good. We like being great. Everybody's coming for us. We want to be great. I think that really helped me because I think it's going to be a little bit like that when I go to college. A lot of comparison. I have an NFL coach already, Coach Westbrook, one of the best. Yeah, it's going to help me a lot.
Looking at the Arizona Cardinals, a couple of Washington secondary members between Byron and Buddha. Are you going to be watching the Cardinals particularly close this year?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully I get drafted to the Cardinals. That'd be pretty awesome to come back to AZ, live here. I'm going to watch all their games, actually, to see what they're doing. They came from the school I'm going to, so I want to learn off of them.
Now, when you look at this, really the Saguaro program, but these 2020 guys, you're going to turn in from teammates to conference opponents. A lot of guys are going to the Pac-12. You look at Will Schaefer heading to ASU, Jalen Jeffers, Oregon, Parker Lewis, USC, Keely Ringo, Matt Polk, Damian Sellers, all considering Pac-12 schools. Yeah. What's it going to be like going head-to-head against your former teammates at the college level?
It's going to be fun, actually. I really hope Matt goes to Pac-12 because I want to see him. I want to line up against him. He's a great player. He gets better and better every practice. We love to compete. It's going to be fun. I'm going to see them like, hey, what's up?
Having all that talent in one class and, like you said, going head-to-head in practice, how has that made all of you guys better?
Oh, it makes it so much better. The receivers, I go against the receivers, and Will Schaefer, they're excellent players. Matt, he gives me work. I think he's underrated. He gives both me and Keely work. Keely's probably going to disagree with that, but but it's just fun because you're getting better and you got to go 100% or he's going to beat you, and you don't want to get beat at practice because, like I said, you want to be great.
All right, congratulations, Jacoby. Jacoby Covington, Saguaro defensive back, now the latest Washington commit. We continue our discussion on ASU football, looking ahead at the 2019 season with a former ASU quarterback, current member of the coaching staff, Mike Bercovici. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Still getting used to being called coach, but happy to be on.
So with this transition, how's it been going from player just a couple of months ago now to coach and getting used to that title?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, being 4 or 5 years removed from school, it's obviously, you know, the guys have been extremely respectful towards me turning into the coaching role now. But it's been great. I mean, it's, you know, we do a lot as coaches, and, you know, you try to, half of it is motivation, half of it's teaching, and you just got to bring the juice every single day, especially in the dog days of camp. But we're excited to have an opponent in sight within the next 10 days and get this thing rolling.
What's been the most surprising part of this transition?
You know, the surprising thing is really, you know, on your body. I mean, you know, as a player, you get beat up and you take the bumps and bruises. But here, you know, you got to, we're here at 5 in the morning and we leave sometimes not till 11, 12 at night. So, I mean, you just got to get your body in shape to having full work days. And it's been a grind, but I've enjoyed every second of it.
Now, you mentioned those 4 or 5 years since you were quarterback over at ASU. I looked through the current roster. I think there were 4 guys that are still on the team when you were on the team: Cade Cody, Tyler Wiley, Stephen Miller, and Tommy Hudson. I know you can't talk about those guys individually, but just seeing the transformation that the ASU football program can put on a person from an 18-year-old now to those guys being leaders and those guys being seniors, just what has that been like, seeing those guys make those transitions?
You know, I actually talk about it all the time. Talk about it with some of the other coaches. It's really amazing to see, when I was a redshirt senior and you see those guys, and they're young guys, whether they're redshirting or they were, you know, supporting the team in whatever way they could, to see them now in leadership roles and being captains of the team. It's really amazing and humbling to see how things come full circle, because that's the awesome thing about the college game is you stick around, you develop, and you might not contribute anything until your 5th year, and you know, you could be a superstar on the field. So it's been awesome to see those guys, those little relationships that I had with them as a player. It's really comfortable now being in this role and sharing, you know, that time that we did share, and just kind of feeling like one of the guys a little bit.
Talking to Mike Bercovici, ASU graduate assistant, former starting quarterback for the Sun Devils. Now, back when you were a player, there was a pretty wide open QB competition. This offseason, the main storyline has been a QB competition. Did it bring you back a little bit, getting back to Tempe and knowing that there was kind of a wide open competition for the guy under center?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a big reason why I wanted to be a part of this. When I talked to Coach Edwards and Coach Likens, their biggest thing was, you know, quarterback competition, the way that all goes about is essential for not only to see who the starter is, but, you know, for the morale of the team. And I wanted to be there, part of the quarterback unit, just to kind of show them how the ebbs and flows and competing goes. But I think it went really smooth. And the best part about it is they're all great guys, and they kind of competed in their own fashion, their own style, and they're just all team guys. So it never felt like an individual battle. This was just, you know, contributing to the team. Anytime you step in that huddle, whether it's the ones, twos, threes, you got to treat yourself like a starter. And that's kind of been my message. And they've all done a great job of just coming to work and acting like a pro about it.
Given your unique perspective to going through that process, what is the toughest part of going through a quarterback competition like that, where I'm sure every throw, every play, every moment is scrutinized?
Yeah, the biggest thing is like not looking too far into it. And Coach Herm said it best. You can't walk out of your set of plays and looking to see how one coach respond to you and to see if he's smiling at the other guy or not talking to you. You just kind of have to, you know, control what you can control, play every snap like you're the starter, and just go out there and compete. You can't be afraid to make mistakes. And that's what's awesome about a practice field. And that's what's been so good about these young guys. They've had the opportunity to make mistakes or to make incredible plays or to make plays that they can sometimes throw away or pull the trigger and go for it. It's been really helpful to see them in a practice environment, because when the game time comes, there's no time for mental errors. And they've done a great job of learning on the flow and understanding what real Pac-12 football is all about.
When you were in that quarterback competition, you weren't the Jaden Daniels in this situation. You had to wait and find your opportunity, and then you took advantage. Now that decision has been made, what's been that main message to the rest of the room? And, you know, what are you just really trying to do to make sure that everybody's ready to go come October or August 29th, excuse me?
Yeah, that's my favorite part about this is, you know, most guys, you think your message is to the starter and how to just excel. I mean, my experience comes from being a backup, and that's why I feel like I can resonate a lot with these guys who didn't win the starting job, because at the end of the day, you're one snap away, you're one play away, and that's cliche, but it is the truth. So if you don't see yourself like a starter the second that you are now the starter, it's too late. So prepare every day like a starter, just holding yourself to a standard. I mean, however, I always tell these guys, however good you think you are, you're 10 times better than that. And you got to start thinking that way. So they're young and they've got them taking as many notes as possible because they've got a lot of information to absorb. But those guys are so smart, both Dylan and Joey, Jaden, Ethan. I mean, those guys are really like an amazing group of quarterbacks. So their future is bright regardless of their age. So they're all going to be fun to watch.
How different is the college football landscape from when you played with, you know, just a few years ago, no one knew what a transfer portal was or, you know, anything like that. Just how different is it to step back into this world for you?
It's extremely different from recruiting to coaching to just the daily life. I mean, these guys, they have it pretty good. You know, they've got all the meals in the world that they need. You know, the college student athlete life has increased immensely. Our facility is incredible. And the biggest thing is that the pressures from the outside world just gets greater and greater as this transfer portal and all these other influences start to happen. I mean, nowadays you get into a quarterback competition and the second it's not going your way, you have the ability to leave. So that's what's new for me, and I got to learn how to manage personalities. But like I said, we all, you know, it's kind of what's fun is recruiting guys that have great people skills and they're natural leaders and all that, and they'll find a way to fight through that. And you know, my message to them is just, you know, the grass always isn't greener on the other side. Just you came here for a reason, and always remember that.
Coach Bercovici, we appreciate the time. I know it's a busy couple of weeks, but thanks so much for giving us an inside look on what it's like to navigate a quarterback room during a competition.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.